90.1 KZSU Stanford. That was the last song from the Bollywood collection. We are now segueing into Arabic music and culture. Naveen Mahmood is here along with Ramzi Salty. Naveen is a student and she's going to be talking about how she came to Stanford and her Arabic background. What is that background of hers and why is she learning Arabic? And Ramzi is her teacher who teaches Arabic here. Ramzi was here last week and he's going to be playing some fantastic tunes. All I can say is Ramzi is a DJ here and he'll be back at 12 spinning some more Arabic music. So Stanford Spotlight is starting 5 minutes early, or should I say 7 minutes early, before we go to the Arabic music. Here is a quick announcement. Teach for America is a national core of outstanding recent college graduates and professionals who commit to teaching for 2 years in urban and rural public schools in lower income areas across our nation. If you're a college senior interested in being part of this core, or if you'd like to help support the effort, visit www.teachforamerica.org. You're listening to 90.1 KZSU Stanford, and here is our first Arabic song.
طبعاً عمره ما حك وعمره ما كان أمين شيخ الصيادين اسمه عم الحكامين طبعاً عمره ما حك وعمره ما كان أمين وقام كل الناس ومحسسوا منه خلاص وقام كل الناس ومحسسوا منه خلاص من غير خير والحق يضيع والطيب راح يمدى شيخ الصيادين اسمه عم طبعا عمره ما حد وعمره ما كان أمين شيخ الصيادين اسمه عم الحكامين طبعا عمره ما حد وعمره ما كان أمين اعتبروا الشخص ده مات شيخ الصيادين اسمه عم الحكامين طبعا عمره ما حك وعمره ما كان امين شيخ الصيادين اسمه عم الحكامين طبعا عمره ما حك وعمره ما كان امين
بيبو
بتطلع فيه انك عطول
تتطلع فيه انك عطول في مشغول كتير بتشتاق لي وبتموت علي انا ما بديت مجنون حتى نظرات عيونك مجنوني بيعز عليك لف بعينيك تمرق شي لحظة تشوف عيوني أنا ما
KZSU Stanford. I'm Kamla and we are on with Stanford Spotlight. Our guests today are Ramzi Salty, who teaches Arabic at Stanford University, and Naveen Mahmood, who is a student. She's a senior at Stanford doing psychology. Before we go to Naveen, we are going to have Ramzi say hello and Naveen say hello.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And with me, I have one of my favorite students of all time who's agreed to come to the studio. Naveen, say marhaba.
Marhaba, ya al-dunya.
Oh, wow. That translates into hello, oh world out there. We are so happy to be with Kamla this morning, who's been playing a wonderful selection of It's Bollywood show and also some Arabic music as well.
I have no clue about Arabic, but I think I can mimic what they said. Marhaba al-dunya.
Wow. So somebody,
that was great. I think she needs to be in your class.
I think if she took my class, she would easily get an A+. Don't you, Naveen?
She needs to move right into intermediate.
I keep telling you, Ramzi, it's because in South Asia, for some reason, we have a lot of Arabic words. Dunya is a word that we use too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We were actually talking about so many similarities between, India and the Arab world last week. And the show went so well that Kamla invited me back. I feel like I'm getting, I won the lottery twice.
So we are going to talk to Naveen, whose story is truly inspirational. Can I ask you those questions? I read about you and your dad was or is Egyptian.
Yes, my dad is Egyptian, lives in Egypt.
And your mom is?
My mom is black, from Philadelphia, and is still in the area.
So you're an interesting combination. This is the Black History Month, and there's all this happening in Egypt.
It's a lot going on, right? Trust me. My email boxes are full. My phones are ringing with either events or, people wanting to talk about either one, whether it's the month, whether it's Egypt. So it is an interesting time.
But the interesting story about you is how you and your mother had to fend for yourself. And you went through what I would say was a harrowing time with your mother in the hospital and you without a home. How old were you?
At the time that we were about really unsure about where we were going to be living. I was about 7th, 8th grade about that time. And she did the very best she could to hide it from me. She she really cushioned me in so many ways, and I have so little to complain about because she really bore the brunt of it. But she's amazing.
But she was in the hospital and you had to, in the morning, go to school.
Yes.
That must have been hard.
In all honesty, it was something that I think a lot of people would rise to the challenge and meet. But my mom really was the greatest support I ever could have had and made it absolutely feasible.
And you had a very interesting comment, I think, in one of your essays or profile that I saw, that you do best when you're pushed to the edge.
I do. And that's something that has continued to be pushed even at Stanford, which I love. And I'm hoping to continue to push myself after graduation, but I find myself being my most creative and coming up with solutions I probably never would have thought of, especially when I surround myself with good people.
So you're majoring in psychology here?
Yes, psychology with a focus on mind, culture, and society.
What prompted you to go to psychology?
Honestly, I was very just interested in the way the world works. And in my mind, the world breaks down to nothing more than relationships. Our institutions are, in my mind and the way I conceive of them, very neutral. And they're run by the people and the directions that they take. And in order for me to affect the change I want to affect, I really wanted to know how to work effectively with all different types of people and how to engage them.
So you made a very interesting comment. You said institutions are neutral. So what makes an institution non-neutral?
Because it fails to exist in the absence of us. It has no meaning without a person or a thought behind it.
So the people.
It's the people that are at the real soul of that.
And what prompted you to come to Stanford? Because Philly has some great schools.
So I actually had no intentions of coming to Stanford, to be quite honest. Sorry, everyone at Stanford.
You didn't hear that. She's taking it back.
But I visited. And when I visited, I had some of the most interesting direct comparisons of the way people engaged each other. And at other schools, I saw a very competitive nature that was frightening. And here I saw a very collaborative and competitive nature, which led to amazing things. I felt that people had a very entrepreneurial spirit. They wanted to use their education now in service of something now, whereas other schools, the idea was that you graduate and then do something. So the mindset was very different here. It was very proactive, and that really drew me in. And I absolutely could not imagine being anywhere else, in all sincerity.
So what have you done? Because you've been involved in the student community and also the student union body?
Yes. Currently, I work with the ASSU, which is our student government. I'm the chair of service.
So what does the chair of service do?
I do big picture things, really, and helping to connect many service initiatives, helping to strengthen the public service realm at Stanford. For students now and as they move forward, engaging more students in public service and helping them to redefine it and broaden the definition. At the moment, we have a lot of exciting projects going on. One of them, which we'll be launching soon, is a web resource highlighting alumni and all different disciplines who have different degrees from Stanford and how they've used their careers in service. So that's one example of something that that I might do. Another great organization I worked with for 3 years while here is the First Generation Low Income Partnership, which is it was a student group born out of an emerging community of first generation and low income students that were coming to Stanford in higher numbers because of our great financial aid packages. And the unique experiences of this community really demanded a forum and a center for that. And that was another reason why I found Stanford really interesting. It was the first student group of its kind when I had gotten here.
Let's switch to your background.
Sure.
Your Arabic background.
Yes.
How do you keep in touch? Because I don't want to reveal something unless you're comfortable with it. Your relationship with your father is?
It had really been kind of non-existent by my choice. My mother always left the door open and did everything from, you know, my grandmother came a lot from Egypt, but my dad, you know, he hadn't really been there since I was a baby, but she really did leave the door open. And my sophomore year of college, I hadn't been back to Egypt since I was about 7 or 8. And then my sophomore year of college, I decided I wanted to go again, and she absolutely made that possible.
Your mother?
My mother, as did my father. Okay. You know, he got my ticket, and I have two half beautiful half sisters, Nermeen and Shireen, that live in Egypt, and I wanted to see them, and I had never met them before. My grandmother, my cousins, I had new cousins, baby cousins, so it was a very interesting trip. But and now I got an email from my dad yesterday. We were talking about, you know, what's going on and his feelings. And
where does he live in Cairo?
He was born in Giza. My grandmother still lives in Giza, but my father lives in a new compound called 6th October, which is about 35 minutes from Cairo, roughly.
But what does 6th October mean? Is there a significance?
It has to do with one of the wars with Israel that was won, and I'm unsure exactly. I mean, it was on the 6th of October.
Okay. So how did you get to go to Ramsey's class?
Ramsey came with high recommendations, and I am not saying that because we're on the radio. I kid you not, before I even got to Stanford, I met a student named Ronnie Tisdale, and I hope he hears this. And he would not stop raving about this one professor, Ramsey Salty. And I did not take Arabic first coming in, and my freshman advisor really encouraged me to, because she could tell it was something that I very much wanted to do. And I was... Anytime I mentioned Arabic to anyone, Ramsey Salty's name came up. And it was just, they lit up. And they were so excited about what he did. And as was I, after I had the pleasure of being in his class for 6 quarters.
I think Ramsey is tearing up here.
I am. You know, last time I was here, you couldn't shut me up. And today I'm sitting here tearing up. I'm in between these two wonderful, amazing women here in the studio. And for the first time in my life, I'm speechless. Naveen, I never knew you felt that way.
It's true. It's so true.
And Ronnie Tisdale, if you're out there, I should say a big shukran to you for bringing Naveen into my life. And, you know, although I'm not teaching Naveen currently this quarter, I'm so happy that we've kept in touch. Naveen always comes in to visit her old ancient professor and always brings with her, you know, an Arabic text to analyze or a Nancy Ajram song to jam to, is it?
No.
What do the kids say now, Naveen?
We get down.
You get down, yeah. Kamla, she keeps us young and hip, you know.
No, jam too. So
jam too, all right.
We're all getting dated here, so it's get down.
In my day, it was disco, you know, so, but I won't go there.
No, I think, Ramsey, you have got to put a stop to the disco thing.
I'm sorry, never. Disco is in my blood. I mean, you know, Kamla,
really
I won't show you pictures of me in 1977 trying to be John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever and trying to staying alive.
You mean Saturday Night Fever?
Saturday Night Fever, absolutely.
Was that a big deal in Jordan?
Everybody tried to look like John Travolta, you know, from the mechanic to the business executive. Everybody was going around with the medallions, the white shirt, and singing, you know, their version of Staying Alive, something like Staying Alive. But we didn't know what we were saying. It just was, you know, the Bee Gees. You've heard of the Bee Gees, haven't you? The Bee Gees, yes.
Ramsey, you're wild. What you didn't mention was the white bell-bottom trousers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Those defined the 70s. Naveen is looking at us like, I was not even an embryo at the time. Those pictures shall never surface, which is why tagged pictures of me on Facebook are not visible to even my mother.
So I wish we had the Bee Gees to play.
That would have been nice. It would have been a flashback.
So have you listened to the Bee Gees, Naveen?
Not too much. Not too much. I'm a big jazz fan. I love older music, but disco, I think I skipped that era.
Oh, you're a big jazz fan?
I am a big jazz fan.
And who are your favorite singers?
Oh, goodness. Now or jazz?
Jazz.
Jazz. I love Charles Mingus, Charlie Parker, Duke Ellington, you know, the classics, John Coltrane.
The jazz standard.
Yes. There are some really great new artists, too. So I loved, my mom got me into jazz. Early.
And Philly has a great jazz scene.
We do. We do. A great station and a great scene. My mom always had me at local concerts. Joey DeFrancesco was a great local guy. And I just remember, my mom made me very soulful, I think. I'm an old woman in my heart. My very first concert was the Commodores.
Oh, my goodness.
I kid you not. I was 10 years old.
Wow.
And I wanted to go. It was the same brick house.
So Ramsey, she's got the soulfulness from her black mother, and then she's got this Arabic soulfulness from her Egyptian father.
Absolutely. She's got the blood of the pharaohs running through her veins. This is no ordinary person sitting here in our studio today, Naveen Mahmood. And I'm not saying that because we're on the radio either. Just because we're on the radio.
Ramsey loves to hear his own voice. Bee Gees. We have to have the Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees.
The next step. So we will take a break, a musical break. And what are we playing now?
Well, we started out with Nancy Ajram. That was a song that Naveen picked. It was called Ehsas Jdeed, which translated means a new feeling. But I thought we would start off with a request by many of my Arabic students who heard the show last week and said, why didn't you play Bil'aks? Well, Kamla, Bil'aks is actually a song that we know in English as perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. And I have the Lebanese version of that sung by two Lebanese artists, Rami Ayash and Abir Naame. And I think you're going to enjoy the Arabic version as much, if not more, than the original version. I think it was Doris Day originally, and then recorded by other groups like
Leela
Cake.
Leela
Downs, absolutely, and also Cake, which is, ultra, I'm trying to be really hip here. But the Cake version has a little bit of profanity in it, so we wouldn't be playing it on the air. However, the Arabic version is very clean. I checked it.
So it's FCC clean. And so we are going to be playing the Arabic version of Perhaps. Perhaps you're listening to 90.1 KZSU Stanford on Stanford Spotlight. My guests are Ramsey Salty and Naveen Mahmood. مش رح تنسيني شو صار تعاملتيني بالعكس 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 مين قالك يا حياتي بنساك لحظة بحياتي هواك مالي أوقاتي بالعكس 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 إذا كان بدك تتسلي ولقيتيني موضوع قابل ضلي بعيدي عني ضلي لا تراضيني لا مش قابل بدك تعتذري مني والله قدام اللي قالوا عني مغرور تيشوفوا اني بالعكس بالعكس بالعكس
البوب ستار رامي عياش وعبير نعمي
أول مرة بحس بقلبي عم يوجعني قلبك قاسي مش حاسس فيه وبحبي فكري شيء من إحساسي رح تبقى بهالحالي ما فيك تشعر بحالي لشو تبقى ببالي بالعكس بالعكس بالعكس
بوبستار رامي عياش وعبير نعمي
وحياة عيونك انت الحياة معناها انت ما بعيش من دونك انت بالعكس بالعكس بالعكس
وحياة عيونك انت الحياة معناها انت ما بعيش من دونك انت بالعكس بالعكس
بالعكس بالعكس بالعكس بالعكس بالعكس بالعكس بالعكس
بالعكس.
KZSU Stanford and Ramzi Salty and Naveen Mahmood are my guests. And who wants to talk about this song?
Well, I think, Naveen, you remember we played this song in class once.
And, more than once. It's a favorite.
You're right. And then because it's a duet, we had the girls sing the girls' part and the guys sing the guys' part.
Yes.
And eventually, I think we even switched.
Yes.
Yes. Because
always.
We don't see gender.
No. No yeah. boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, like Kamla said, the original was, you know, Lila Downs. It was Doris Day. And it was Cake, and then eventually these two Arabic artists decided to record it and release it officially as a duet a few years ago. And I thought the kids might enjoy it because I said Doris Day, you know, or Lila Downs, and I got, you mean Cake? And I said, oh yeah, Cake. I didn't know what Cake meant at
what
the time.
What is Cake?
I thought
it's
it was something
group.
You ate.
It's a group.
It is?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I figured that out now.
It's a little more our speed.
First she says get down, then she says it's a little more our speed. I think the word spinning has gone out of fashion. You don't spin records anymore, do you?
Well, actually, it's very trendy if you do.
Oh, you spin?
Yes.
Ooh. Old is
if you know how
old
to.
Old is back.
Yes. Old is coming back.
I'm taking notes here, you know, how to be trendy. White John Travolta suits and spin. No spinning or spinning?
Spinning.
I'll be spinning, yes, absolutely.
So here's a challenge for Ramzi. He needs to come in a John Travolta outfit to the station and then go to his class and play Bee Gees.
Be the Bee Gees. Well, I'll do that if you'll accompany me in, you know, bell-bottom jeans. And, you know, so I need a date for my disco, Kamla.
Naveen can go with you.
La.
I don't know. Naveen doesn't even know what disco is.
Naam.
No, say la, Naveen.
I don't think I could take part in that.
So na'am means yes in Arabic, and that's a word I learned from you last week.
Yes, and the opposite, of course, is la for no.
Okay.
Right.
So music in Egypt, what did you find, Naveen, when you went a couple of years ago?
I found a lot of Nancy, and she's not from Egypt. She's from beautiful Lebanon. Lebanon.
Is Lebanon the
yes.
Arabic
way?
Yeah, Lebanon is, it's of course, my birthplace, which is why Naveen sort of looked at me over the microphone going, Lebanon, did I pronounce? Because she knows butchering the word Lebanon leads to very, very dangerous consequences.
Actually, the first time that I was in Ramzi's class and I got up the guts to speak and say Lebanon, I said the word for yogurt. And he was very angry.
Labne. Or Laban, was it? Yeah, one of those two. And I'm like, we do not eat the country for breakfast. So do not mix Lebanon with Laban.
He was not having it. But I saw a lot of Nancy, lots of Amr Diab everywhere. I hope we'll get to hear some of him today. There was a little bit of Haifa Wahbe, but when I, a funny story, I was driving with my dad and we were coming back into Cairo from his house and there was a big billboard of Haifa. And at that point, I was still early in Egypt and I was just taking note of all the things I was learning about back here. And I just pointed out Haifa Wahbe. I don't even quite like Haifa. And he turned to me, he's like, no, you like Haifa? What is America doing to you? Oh no, I hope you don't like Haifa. And the context for that is that Haifa is very racy. She's very controversial. And you could speak more about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I mean, Haifa is, this is what they say in private. Haifa's the girl you date, but Nancy Azram's the girl you bring home to meet mom. So she ended up pointing out Haifa on some billboard, right? And your father actually, instead of being proud of you for recognizing Haifa Wahbe, he was actually like, you do not recognize her. You do not know her. No daughter of mine.
You do not like her, Naveen. Naveen, what is this?
So while these two are riffing over Haifa, a quick note on Haifa. She's a Lebanese singer who lives in Egypt.
No, she actually lives in Lebanon.
Oh,
but,
she does.
Yes, she's actually Shia, you know, she's a Shiite. She was in the south of Lebanon, but she's made it really big. She is absolutely, I mean, we have to admit, she's really beautiful.
She is.
But
I don't know.
She's got some help from surgeons.
I think they all have. I'm so afraid we're going to get sued for saying so, but I think we're pretty safe saying she's had some assistance along the way.
Okay.
Because every video she looks so different.
Well, she just has a very good makeup artist, Ramsey.
Oh, she's going to love you for this.
Yes. She just has a very good makeup artist and a lighting person.
I like that. Yes. They must be amazing because she just looks like a different woman than what I remember her looking at. But it must be the lighting.
So Haifa is a very popular singer all over the Arab world.
Absolutely. I think Haifa has caused quite a bit of controversy. She's, you know, her video clips have been banned in the Gulf countries because they're considered too provocative. You know, her concerts are mainly, I think, males go to her concerts and a few females as well, but, you know, mostly males. And she kind of, you know, fulfills that sort of male fantasy, I think, by, you know, the way she performs. So she is beautiful, but in terms of, you know, nobody get mad at me out there or at Kamla, but, you know, in terms of voice quality or talent, I'm not sure. I think I'd want to, you know, go to sleep to Nancy singing the lullaby.
To Nancy in my room, and Haifa comes up very rarely, but she's highly requested by the boys in our class.
Yeah.
We'll put it that way.
But okay. See, she comes up rarely. Your dad in Egypt, who if he's listening, we should say assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, ya baba.
See, she does not know who Haifa is, sir. Right, correct? Correct?
Correct.
She sleeps to Nancy Azram.
So you say Baba for father in Arabic?
Yes.
Interesting. Another South Asian word.
Really? So you grew up calling your dad Baba?
As a kid. Then you change it and become more modern and fashionable. So you start saying Papa or Daddy.
Ooh la la.
Yeah. So Haifa. So this is very interesting what you're talking about, the two of you are talking about Haifa. And I'm thinking, you know, we have this perception among some of us have this perception that the Arabs are very conservative. You know, and music is not something that they listen to or they celebrate, and they don't have racy videos. But you're painting a very different picture here.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think the advent of music video clips and the fact that there's about, last time I was in Jordan, there were about 20 of these MTV-type stations that just transmitted these images, these video clips, one after another for 24 hours. And so you got bored of one, you turned to the other, and you had these images that sometimes were very artistic and very interesting,
Yes. But
sometimes were kind of exploitative. I mean, you know, they're kind of copying things from the West, and some of it is good, and some of it kind of looks out of place when you're, you know, sort of parading Haifa Wahbe to a conservative audience,
yes.
You know. So I think people are getting, I don't know if to say sadly or not, but they're getting kind of immune to some of these images where, you know, a racy video today is able to be shown around the Arab world, which a few years ago would have been completely banned.
Right. But I'm assuming that in Saudi Arabia and other parts, Haifa is banned.
Well, honestly, yes, but because they all have the satellite dishes, you know. I mean, I think the images are being transmitted into private homes, and since it's a private home, nobody knows, but technically on state-run television or something like that, her video clips would not be playing regularly.
So I have a question for you, Naveen, because your dad was shocked that you knew who Haifa was.
Yes.
How are young women reacting to, you know, images of Haifa and other singers who come in very modern costumes and, you know, they wear a lot of makeup? How do they then reconcile that with their hijab and their Islamic way of life?
Well, I think a lot of them can be reconciled. For instance, Nancy is someone that is, I think, loved because she's very modern in what she does, but she's not over the top, and she is still very modest, and her voice is beautiful. She's beautiful. I know that one of my little sisters loves her. The other one, for some reason, doesn't like her, but doesn't like Haifa. She likes Feroz and older things. So it's an interesting process to watch, but I think a lot of it can be reconciled in many ways, and I don't think that women are taking it over the top, but I certainly... I wasn't shocked, I would say, but I think I expected Egypt to be a little more conservative than somewhere, say, like Beirut. But when I was in Cairo, you know, girls are wearing the jeans that I wear and the heels that I wear. And I hadn't been back in so long, I guess I was expecting something a little different. But really, it is very cosmopolitan, and the music kind of fits in with that.
So is that what you would also say?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you would be shocked in some ways how much things have changed, because of technology and these, images I was talking about, satellite, the satellite dish industry really revolutionized television and, of course, the internet. I mean, YouTube alone gives you access to every Haifa video you want. Not that I'm encouraging everybody to go down, watch Haifa videos today. Watch Nancy. She's
yes.
more, But at
how
the same time,
how do you spell Haifa's full name?
Well, it's actually H A I F A in English, which would be in Arabic Ha Ya Fa Alif and Hamza. Now, if you try to do a Google search for Haifa, whatever you start typing Haifa, you're going to probably get the city Haifa because it's spelled the same way. But in Arabic, actually, Haifa would be spelled with a letter Ha, and Haifa with a letter Ha, like the soft H, like Howard. So in Arabic, it's not the same spelling, but when we attempt to spell it in English, why don't you guys have more H sounds in English?
I don't know. This man loves the Arabic language and constantly reminds us why it's... for example, the word... I can't think of an exact word at this moment, but there are many words in Arabic that have such specific connotations, you'd have to say 7 English words for them. And we just don't have enough letters, and our language is so basic, and it's kind of true.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful language. I had to learn it late in life, but I was telling Kamla last week when I was on the show, I learned it through memorization. It wasn't like Arabic. Everything comes back to a root.
I Ramzi from Jordan.
Oh, you do remember it. Well, exactly. Now, I Ramzi, that's 2 words. I am Ramzi, that's 3. You guys need 3 words, we only need 2. So we have much more time for other things because we're, saving time on words, right, Naveen?
It's true.
Yeah, you suddenly have a life if you speak Arabic.
It's so true.
Speak English and you're just busy trying to put, dangling prepositions everywhere.
Dangling prepositions are now become acceptable.
Really?
I think some people
really?
Are saying, well, because I think there's so much of change in English language, even as I notice, things that you wouldn't write in a sentence
is right.
now kind of become acceptable, right?
That's the other thing about Arabic is that...
It's like French.
The formal language has not changed. And so you always know what's coming. With English, our dictionary continues to change. And I mean, Amia, which is the street Arabic, is very different.
Okay, so we're going to take a musical break, and what is the next song that's coming up?
Well, I figured since Naveen is in the house, and since we've already played Lebanese artist Nancy Azram Rami Ayash, we need to play a real Egyptian for Naveen and for everybody out there. And really, the singer who exemplifies this folk music called Shabi in Egypt, in Cairo, is Hakim.
Yes,
right?
Hakim. He's
Hakim.
Very popular.
Hakim means doctor.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. It also happens.
I'm getting that A-plus in your class.
I'm telling you. And she doesn't have to grade grub either. She really will get one.
You're
natural. A lot of us are natural, I think.
Well, I was going to say, the name Hakim is actually my mother's maiden name. It's a family name. And it also means wise. So I guess there's a connotation between doctors and wisdom. Mm-hmm. And speaking of the last name Hakim, I think we have several people out there from the Hakim family listening because I've been tweeting. So I should say hello to any Hakim out there and Salty and Mahmoud, I guess.
All the Mahmouds of the world.
We would,
It's just going out on the airwaves. If there's any Hakim, say hi. If there's any Mahmoud, say hi.
If there's any Hakim, say marhaba.
No.
If there's any Mahmoud, say izayak. That's more Egyptian, isn't it?
Very Egyptian.
Egyptian.
Huh?
Egyptian, because the G in the Egyptian dialect is pronounced as a ga. So a word like jami'a, which means...
University.
Yeah, right. That would be in Lebanon, would be pronounced jami'a, but in Egypt would be...
Gamia.
Oh, Mumtaza.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Spelled the same way, but pronounced differently because the Egyptians don't like the letter J.
When I went there after I had been in my first year of Arabic, I got made fun of plenty because I was saying z, 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 and everyone says g, g, g.
She must have had a Lebanese influence professor somewhere who led her astray.
Who just happens to be sitting right next to her.
Yep.
So we're going to take a musical break. But before that, I have an announcement. And Douglas Kahn of University of New South Wales in Sydney will present Far Out Brainwaves as Inner Space Music in Stanford's seminar on science, technology and society. The presentation will take place on Monday, March 7th at 12 noon in Encina Hall in the second floor East Conference Room on the Stanford campus. For more information, call 650-725-0123 or email rslayton, S-L-A-Y-T-O-N, at stanford.edu. You're listening to Stanford Spotlight, and the guests today are Ramsey Salty and Naveen Mahmood.
لعنيك والقلب كمان اتضايق فيه يسعدها أنا روح المنسيوش أنا صوت المماتوش نسمع من الحديد صلصال ونبني في عشقة جديدة تولي
Stanford Spotlight, Ramsey Salty and Naveen Mahmood are our guests. And Ramsey, you want to talk about the two songs?
Well, actually, this last song we just played that Naveen said she absolutely loved. You'd never heard this before, Naveen.
I had, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, that was by Amal Masluthi. She's a Tunisian artist. And how did I discover this song? Well, after we did the last show, Kamla, I had one of my graduate students, whose name is Allison, said, you know, would you play this song for, you know, with the Tunisian people? It's dedicated. It's actually recorded way before any of the current events. But it's a beautiful song about freedom. And Amal Masluthi is a Tunisian artist who sings in French and in Arabic. And so I think this was sort of a haunting tune about, it's called the Kilmeti Hurra, which is my word is free, meaning free as in freedom. And she's hoping for a world where everybody has sort of freedom to express themselves. That's Amal Masluthi.
And
Masluthi. Can you say Masluthi?
Masluthi.
Wow. Is that a scene or a tha?
It's a tha.
Right. The one with three dots on top?
I thought it was a tha.
No.
I'm
Naveen,
wrong.
We're on the air.
It was a tha.
Shukran.
Folks, you're getting a live Arabic class thanks to Ramsey Salty, who teaches Arabic at Stanford.
Yes, indeed. And I'm so happy that Kamla invited me back. Honestly, this the last week, you know, when I was on the show, the whole day I was getting stopped by students and people mostly who were listening, you know, on the air. And on my way to work, I was listening to you and I heard Arabic music and I had to know who. And then I even told you, Kamla, you know, we got a few emails from people that were listening, just going, I couldn't believe that there was Arabic music on my FM dial. So Kamla was so kind to invite me again, and she had suggested, you know, bring a student with you, and we wanted to bring somebody. I mean, all my students are wonderful, Naveen, right?
They honestly are, in all sincerity.
Right, but we had to kind of pick one, and I think we did well, didn't we, Kamla?
Yes, you did well. Now it's Naveen's turn to talk.
All right.
I'm honored.
Because, as Ramsey will confess, he loves to talk.
Yeah, well, they used to say I swallowed the radio while it was on.
That's so funny.
You swallowed what radio, an FM dial?
I think so. Double digital THX sound or whatever it's called.
So if his mom is listening, we apologize to you. Ramsey's mom, we apologize for listening.
She's so used to it. She brought me up. So, I mean, in the house, she would need to literally leave the house to get a little bit of peace of quiet. You know, some kids, you can't get them to talk. Me, you couldn't get to shut up.
Polar opposite.
So, Naveen, that was the first time you heard this song?
Yes. Okay. I loved it. Her voice is gorgeous.
And the one before that was Ramsey?
It was Hakim. Was Hakim, yes, the Egyptian, what are we going to call him, like folk singer. But of course, the idea of folk singing there would be something like Shabi, and Hakim sort of exemplifies that kind of music that the people love. It's not, you know, very difficult lyrics. It's very much of a embracing life and so representing the life of the common Egyptian man in the street.
That's beautiful.
Okay, and we are going to be playing a couple more songs, and you want to introduce the...
Well, actually, yes, because we don't want these listeners out there to think, you know, suddenly we've turned into, an English show or something. But I think Naveen could talk a little bit about the hip version by the...
The Gorillaz. The song is called Clint Eastwood, and from anyone from my generation who's listening, you will absolutely remember this song. The Gorillaz are actually an animated band. They've never performed, or they've never been seen in person. All their videos are animated, and I remember this song coming out. It was their first real big hit.
Is it an American group?
Yes. I'm actually unsure. I think they are from a mix of places. But they're very mysterious in many ways, but their music's incredible. And this was their first very big hit. And I used to play this all the time. So this is Clint Eastwood by the Gorillaz.
And the reason we're playing it is we're going to sort of mix it in halfway through for a couple of reasons, Kamla. You don't want to play the second half of the song. So we're going to kind of mix it in with the Arabic version of the song by none other than...
Mashrou Layla,
the ultra-hip underground Lebanese band.
They're incredible.
Absolutely. They're actually, you know, all over the underground Arabic music scene now. And they had their debut album, but this song, Kamla, was released yesterday.
Oh my goodness.
And I already have it.
It's brand new.
And so I went on the, you know, I never heard of the, what are they, the Godzillas or the Gorillaz?
The Gorillaz.
I'd never heard of the Gorillaz, but now I'm, you know, I love the Gorillaz because, you know, Mashrou Layla did that. So I went on you know, the internet and I checked, and Naveen's absolutely right. Their videos are all animated, kind of almost like Japanese animation or something. And, but the Mashrou Layla version, of course, also comes with this video clip of the band performing and concert. And so what we're going to do is play the version, you know, the original version, Clint Eastwood by the Gorillaz, and followed by Ghadan Yawmun Afdal, the brand new version by Mashrou' Layla.
And this is a song that was just released yesterday. So Ramsey's a happening DJ. So before we play the song, quick announcement. Where you... One of the millions who voted yes on Proposition 21, which would have added $18 to each vehicle's registration fees to support California State Parks. The California State Parks Foundation suggests that you can still help by donating the amount you would have paid in fees directly to help keep our parks open and operating for all to enjoy. To donate, simply go to www.calparks.org. That is www.calparks.org. Coming up at 9 o'clock is Daydream Disaster with Andy, and he will be here at 9, but we are segueing into some wonderful Arabic music. Stay tuned for that. You're listening to Stanford Spotlight on 90.1 KZSU Stanford.
I ain't happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. I ain't happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on.
Finally, someone let me out of my cage. Now, time for me is nothing, cause I'm counting no A's. Nah, I couldn't be there. Nah, couldn't be scared. I'm good.
مبسوط ما بين شي مخبى الشمس بيكر شي مالي عازي بس مش مطول غدا يوما افضل مبسوط ما بين شي مخبى الشمس بيكر شي مالي عازي بس مش مطول غدا يوما افضل يوما افضل يوما افضل يوما افضل
رح تنقذ هلك ولا رح بتغير عالم شان الناس دايما تطلق طب عمره ما بتحبش ومبلاش ما تنفص ومشرف لك بس تطنش حطيبك بوسط جاي من عمر ومن عاش حكيتهم خيب تستاهل وإلا بس تحاج الكلب عن كل قضايا العالم يا رح تتصفف بجنبه يا أما إنك ظالم بقى تتعلم تتفادى أحاديث بعمره بتوديش لا رح تنقذ أهلك ولا رح بتغير عالم شن الناس دايما بتطلق بعمره ما بتحبش وبلاش ما تنقص ومشرف لك بس تطنش حطيبك بوعصات جاي من عمرك من عاش حكيتهم خيب بسي حلوة إلا بس تطنش
KZSU Stanford and Ramsey Salty and Naveen Mahmood. Did I say that right? Mahmood.
Mahmood, perfect.
Mahmood.
You're natural.
I like that H that Kamala said. It wasn't the soft, you know, little
came from the
pathetic
back of that
H.
Throat.
It was. It came from her heart.
So, and that song was?
Well, that was the Mashrou' Layla premiere, Kamla. It was released yesterday, and it's, I already was able to get the song for our listeners. It was Ghadan Yawmun Afdal, translated as Tomorrow is a Better Day, and sort of inspired by the song by the
Gorillaz
called
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood. So I was, what did you call it, Naveen?
How did I call it? What did you call it?
I was trying to give you the credit.
I can't take credit for his joke. It was Clint Middle Eastwood.
Right, since it's in Arabic. Yeah, so it's Clint Middle Eastwood version of Clint Eastwood.
I hope, Mr. Clint Eastwood, you're not listening to this show because, you know, he lives down the...
Really?
Oh, right, he's in Carmel, right? Wasn't he the mayor of Carmel? Or
yeah.
So? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he comes up to Fremont a lot, actually.
Really?
Yeah, there's a cafe, apparently, that he likes to go in Fremont and Washington Boulevard. Oh, I shouldn't be saying this.
Giving up his spots.
Yeah, no,
but I've never seen him, but I've heard, you know, as Robert De Niro would say, I hoid things. I hoid, I saw things, so I hoid. Okay, so Naveen, what is your plan moving forward? You're a senior at Stanford.
I am.
Majoring in psychology.
Yes.
And do you plan to go for graduate studies?
Eventually. I'm going to take about 2-3 years off and get some experience under my belt. And my hope is to go back to law school. I'm still trying to figure out the exact combination of degrees, but that's the plan.
I don't know. I told her off air. She reminds me of Mr. Obama. What do you say, Ramsey?
I see such promise, but I've seen it all along in Naveen because, Naveen, thank you so much for sharing some of these, you know, personal aspects of your life. But I think they are very similar to what Obama also has gone through. And we need presidents there who have, life experiences and who know what it's like to be different, but also to have been able to make it despite obstacles. And boy, Naveen, are you a shining example of someone who could.
Shukran jazilan. Your words mean so much to me, both of you. Thank you.
And Naveen, are you going to study law here or you're going to a school that shall remain nameless out on the East Coast?
I would love to study law here if they gave me the chance.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see. I have a few years before I apply, but Stanford is absolutely up there.
Are you going back to Philly to work?
I'm not. I'm actually going to be in the area for another year, which is very exciting and very unexpected, but that's what life's about, I guess.
Okay, so Ramsey and you can hang out a little bit more then.
Yes,
inshallah.
Absolutely.
Inshallah.
Okay, so we're going to listen to one more song, and if Andy doesn't come, then we'll stay on air for some more time.
All right, sure. So I thought we would end the show with a very, now I'm so afraid to say jamming tune, but I'm just going to say it, a very jamming tune by Saeed Murad. It's actually Nassam Alayna Al-Hawa, the song by Fairuz, set to a very happening beat, and it's available on this compilation called The 1001 Arabian Nights. Saeed Murad and Nassam Alayna Al-Hawa is coming up. Be prepared to dance, everybody.
As they say in English, Saeed Murad, or in Arabic, Saeed. How do you say in Arabic?
Well, you said it perfectly. I'm not sure what I can correct.
Saeed Murad.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I'm
going to send her at 10 o'clock to teach my class. You and I can sit here and spin old Bijie's records.
It's a date.
They'll be playing off of YouTube. Haifa Wahibi.
Oh, no.
Goodness. We never played a Haifa song.
Because Haifa's to be watched, not listened to, you know.
Just mute her.
Yeah.
That's what your dad would say. Right? Your dad would say, Haifa, you know her?
Oh, goodness.
How do you know her? Na'am. Okay, here you go. So we're going to say bye because Andy is in the house. So Naveen and Naveen Mahmood.
Yes, thank
and
you so
Ramsey
much.
Salty.
Shukran jazinan kamla.
Shukran for coming. You were listening to Stanford Spotlight with Ramsey Salty and Naveen Mahmood. And I'm Kamla. Tune back in next Thursday for another Stanford Spotlight, and this time it is Professor Schulz from the Ethnography Department, and she's going to be talking about music from the state of Maharashtra in India, and we'll have It's Bollywood from 6 to 8. Thank you so much for listening, and Andy is in the house, so he'll start off with Daydream Disaster after Saeed Murad.
And Nassam Alayna Al-Hawa.
Masalama.
Masalama, everyone. Thank you for listening.
I think I can also say that. Masalama.
Perfect.